Welcome to the Vermin Apple Podcast, recordings of live poetry from Dublin. July 2010, open mic.
Thanks for the opportunity. I didn't have any plan on reading, so when Kit mentioned this, I thought of a poem that my friend Marta, who's with me here tonight, mentioned to me, so I'm going to read that. And it's called Of Course. Of course. Of course my father brought home books to us every Saturday. Of course they were second hand. Of course he had 8 children to think about. Of course he brought us to art classes in the National Art Gallery. Of course he brought us to the Young Scientist exhibition. Of course he brought us to the country and all the castles and ruins and forts. Of course he brought us to the Phoenix Park and parked in the grass and held the door open and said, "Out." Of course he brought us to Dollyman Strand every Christmas morning. Of course he made trifle. Of course he made wafers. Of course he bought small bars of chocolate and divided them in 8. Of course he divided up the heels of sliced pans and sliced loaves and made us all eat a piece. Of course he mended our school bags. Of course he built bookshelves. Of course he loaded the groceries into the cupboard. Of course he made lists. Of course he kept a file on each one of us with all our school reports. Of course he took me to the theatre. Of course I danced around so much under my small umbrella that he told my mother he would never take me out again. Of course he took my sisters with him on trips to weather stations in remote parts of the country. Of course he loved Irish. Of course he went to his own church. Of course he walked home for lunch every day with the Irish Times under his arm. Of course he never really knew his parents. Of course his father rejected him. Of course he was an intellectual without any pretensions. Of course I teased him and called him Baldy. Of course he brought us spangles from the north. Of course he called from the phone box down the street and said he was in Malin Head. Of course he came strolling in 10 minutes later and we all laughed our heads off. Of course life stopped when the knock came to the door and we were told that he had drowned. Thank you.
Hello. This is a poem that I wrote a few months ago. One midweek night, and doesn't have a name, but I think I don't know. This is my thumb and index finger, and there is your earlobe between them. Not the one with the freckle, the other. Your head is on my chest. Let's make love. This couch surrounds us, and inside my tired head it seems to rise and fall like you and I, and our slow, synced breath. It is thick with the heat of 40 lucky strikes that we feel we never really wanted, but came with conversation as always. We have smoked too many cigarettes and are now sitting in a big, dark lull. Alone, but for the midnight taxis and James Bond on the television screen, playing cards and failing to resuscitate his lover. Thanks.
Hello, this poem is called Dear Owen, and it's an ode to an ex-boyfriend whom I may or may not have made up. And just it depends on how weird you think it all is. And just to say to some people who are not Irish and don't watch any Irish TV, I have name checked a couple of Irish personalities in it, so if you hear a name you don't recognise, it's an Irish TV personality, you know, maybe not that well known. Okay. Dear Owen, it looks like we weren't meant to be. I forgive you for trying to have sex with that tree. But there's some things a woman just can't overlook. You might say that I was understandably shook. When I came home from work at 3:15, you were wearing my dress and looked better than me. And you teamed it with perfect bag, makeup and shoes as you stood there announcing the 9:00 news.
You were great as Anne Doyle. You looked lovely. Oh, you do. You. Why was I worrying? You were great as Anne Doyle. You looked lovely. It's true, despite having a beard and being 7'2". And it's not the cross dressing that horrified me, but the fetish for newsreaders from RTE. Though I love a good time and I'm well up for fun, during sex you once shouted, "I'm coming, Eileen Dunn." I am impressed. Though I wasn't too thrilled when this happened back then, I suppose I was glad that it wasn't the men from the newsroom who thrilled you to give you your dues, though you've put me right off watching RTE News. There are other things, too, that are cause for concern, like the business trip last month you took to Lucerne. And I know you might think that I'm being quite silly, but since you returned, there's no sign of your willy. I'm not being judgmental at all, believe me, but your bust size has gone from an A to a C, and your chin is less hairy, your voice much less deep. Can you see, my dear Owen, why I might have lost sleep? And the sex, as you know, has been off for a while, as you watched endless reruns of Jeremy Kyle, and you'd pause and rewind all the bits where, oh, bless, some huge bloke came on stage in a hideous dress, like a lampshade or curtain from someone's car boot, and it mattered to no one the dress didn't suit, and the audience cheered and this hulk was set free. You were cheering the loudest, sat there next to me, while these tears of frustration streamed straight down your face and your custard cream crumbs spilled all over the place. You were nodding your head in approval and joy as a lady who wanted to dress like a boy came on stage with a crew cut and tentative smile to be cheered and applauded by Jeremy Kyle. And there's other stuff too I take issue with, mister. You're much, much too old to take baths with your sister. I don't care if she raised you and once changed your nappy. That kind of behaviour does not make me happy. And my makeup's been missing since early last week on my Rimmel and Bourjois, Chanel and Clinique. And my necklace is gone too, the one with the charms. And my dresses and tops are all stretched in the arms. And my shoes look all funny and bent out of shape, rather like they've been worn by a 7-foot ape. And remember how one time I came home from yoga, you told me how much you admired Grania Shoiga, matching her makeup to go with her jewellery. I screeched out enough of your bloody tomfoolery. You sulked for a week and refused to have sex and were horribly rude to my best buddy Bex, till I went to mix drinks and returned from the kitchen, discovered the pair of you giggling and bitching. You both tried to hairspray me, mousse me and gel me. Dear Owen, just what were you trying to tell me?
Thanks, Kate, for the series. Another great evening. Thanks. A short poem to finish with. Slightly darker, and no Eileen Dunn in this one. Measures for the Prevention of Crime. I soak embryos in formaldehyde, install them on the mantelpiece. I keep them under surveillance. But when the red eye shuts, they come alive and dance like fuzzy torches in the dark. Rearrange my furniture, raid my kitchen, copulate in my swimming pool, sneak into my bed. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Vermin Apple podcast. Viet Verne would like to thank all those involved in its production, especially, obviously, the poets, but also our kind hosts and the audience too. Our website, verminapfel.com, that's WURMIMAPFEL.com, has more information about the poets, additional podcast episodes, and forthcoming Verne events. Go look!